I have a voice that carries, so if it's a little loud, I will step back as well. I think it's the Midwest Chicago in me. So I'd like to thank all my co-authors on this very extensive project. And I have no relationships to disclose. I have no money. And now I'll begin. So I think I feel as though this is a nice segue from the previous presentation of why do we actually need to assess our food environment. The food environment, and this is broad strokes, everything from farmland to grocery stores, it's been linked to diet patterns, rates of obesity, and other chronic diseases. Unfortunately, it's just an emerging topic where we're looking at access, availability, and affordability of healthy food. And we need to look at this in order to achieve broad public health goals. It isn't so much that we know that we have access to food. I think we're well aware of that. But what do we have access and what is available to us within our communities is a little bit more important to understand. A community-based food system simply looks at the five parts of a food system. And what that is production, which I'm sure most of us in this room are aware of, is farmland production, typically. When we look at processing centers, that's where food actually gets value added. So it's one thing if you have a pig that's being produced on a farm, but what are we going to do with that pig? How are we going to process it so that consumers can actually eat that type of meat? Or if it's blueberries, how are we going to process those blueberries perhaps into jellies or jams or into baked goods? So we need to look at processing centers as well, not just simply where food is being grown. The next step is looking at distribution. And that's an area where most people are familiar. That's factories, warehouses. Food basically is delivered to stores. How are we getting our food from one place to another? And that comes back to our previous speaker that typically, right, we travel our food 1,500 miles. So even though, let's say, we're in California now, oranges are produced here and they're processed into, you know, carts. They're shipped right to Maine so that someone in Maine can have oranges in December. And it's something to think about, and I don't have a clear opinion or evidence, but maybe we shouldn't have oranges in Maine in December. Maybe that's just not what our food system was meant to do. And it's not a declarative statement. It's just something to think about through this conversation. The next is consumption. And typically, as a registered dietitian, that's where I focus most of my efforts. And it's plate to mouth, and how are people actually eating, and what are they eating? And I would argue that in a food system, we need to look at all of these facets. That we need to understand that a big function of how we eat is because of what food is actually available in our communities. And the last is recycling. And this can be anything from composting to sorting your foods and convert it into other materials that can be used at a later date. So the purpose of a community food system for today is really to provide a holistic overview of the local food system. And it also enables, I think, policymakers to evaluate and provide baseline information for community members. Where am I living? What is the food environment around me, and how is that impacting my choices? Additionally, we can then see where there's gaps between the sectors. As I said, it's one thing to say, well, I have lots of farmland production, but if there's nowhere to process that food, it's just going somewhere else for it to be processed. So a food system assessment really provides an opportunity for people to understand where there's gaps and opportunities for connectors. So what did my team do? We conducted a very small-scale community food system assessment in Wayne County, North Carolina. And Wayne County was chosen because we have a current initiative called the Wayne County Food Initiative, which is a Kellogg-funded project to look at economic opportunities for rural counties. What we did there was we brought together students, academics, agriculture, nonprofits, and as many key stakeholders as we could to understand what the food system was going on there. Then we then collected addresses from secondary data sources, so from Farm Bureau, Cooperative Extension, environmental health units within the county health department, and we got addresses for all of those sites, farms, schools, work sites, as you can see. We then mapped those in the county to understand where there were gaps. So on to production. As you can see, there are many, many hog farms in Wayne County, and I'm just going to show you these maps so you can understand what are the main sources of food production. It totals six, hog production alone totals 648 million for Wayne County, and it ranks fourth in the state overall. There are over 200 large and small scale farms, with primarily 72% being large scale farms. That's just hog. We move on to cattle. And again, it's a similar picture. There's a little bit less cattle farming, but there's over 100 cattle farms. Commodity farms. Again, probably not a shocker of information to most people in this room that a big production is commodity farms. That's where most of our subsidies come from, and that's what, as a system, we encourage. Wayne County, again, ranks third in wheat, fourth in soybeans, 10th in cotton, and 9th in tobacco. Yes, we still are big tobacco growers in the South, yet there is little farmland for specialty food crops. That's how many specialty food crop farmers there are. 9. That's right, 9. So, as you can see, these maps provide an opportunity for policymakers and community members to really geographically understand what's taking place in their county. And sometimes I believe a picture speaks 1,000 words. Many of us can get up and stand and speak, but when you visually show to key stakeholders what's going on in their county, it sometimes resonates a little bit more. We then had students work with in the community to take pictures of what was going on within their community, and this is just one of my favorite pictures from what we did on that day. There are some small-scale efforts going on in Wayne County as part of that funding initiative through the Kellogg Foundation that I talked about. There, at the public library, they've actually started a community garden where students and family members can go, and they do a work-for-food exchange program. And there's currently, there's three structured summer programs that are being offered to children living in the inner city and involve gardening, art, and nutrition lessons. And this was one of the illustrative quotes from the girls. When I'm outside, I like my day better. And I don't think these, you know, smiles were posed. I truly believe these children were enjoying their day, and these are peanut shelling. We now move on to processing centers. And if you can recall those maps before, how many hog and cattle farms were there? Now I want you to look at the number of processing plants. It's a shame, because most of these processing plants, like, for example, Butterball. I'm sure everyone knows about Butterball. I'm sure people are pretty familiar with that company. Well, they're not allowing smaller farmers to process their meat there, right? That's not going to happen. So many of these processing centers are for your large farms. Well, as you can see, there were 200 hog farms, and only 72% were for big. So, you know, you still have roughly 30% small farmers. They have nowhere to process their meat. So this is an opportunity to show that there are large gaps between what we physically produce and what we're able to then process. So small farmers, even if we encourage them to grow in an economically and sustainable way, hog farming, there's nowhere for them to process their meat. And here's an economic opportunity for Wayne County to build these processing centers for their local farmers. We then move on to distribution. And as you can see, this is just one example of where I'm going to show linkages between distribution and farming. So farm to school is a general term used to describe efforts that connect schools with local agriculture. Farm to school programs aim to support small local farms by providing local produce in school cafeterias. And this also typically, and there was many presentations on this yesterday, a lot of times students will learn about nutrition and understand where the farm and the food are linked. So as you can see, this would be one opportunity. And in the red circles, are the farms, and in the blue circles are schools. And as you can see, there are 37 schools within a 10-mile radius of the 9 fruit and vegetable farms. So this isn't a function that they're far away. They're next door. They're 10 miles. But yet there is no farm-to-school program currently going on. And again, I could have all these other presentations, as there were yesterday, about the gaps and barriers of farm-to-school, and that's not what this is for. This tool is just to show, again, big picture in a community where there are potential linkages. So I don't want to get bogged down with the details of that. Now we move on to food retail. And typically, as we know, I think it's, I personally believe, has been well documented. Those who live in areas with greater population and a higher income typically have more grocery stores. And the grocery stores are in the white area, which is the more densely populated area, or in the higher income neighborhoods. But as you can see, if you look down to the southern end of the map, again, high population, those grocery stores. But this isn't to say that people in the light blue areas don't deserve a grocery store. So if you're in a light blue area, how are you, again, remember, back to access, availability, you don't even have a grocery store to go to. Not to mention, remember, all the local farm production going on, and only two of these grocery stores is any of the hog or the pork products being labeled local, or is it even being sold? And we're currently, and this is our next step, but currently we're going into these grocery stores and talking to produce managers and finding out what are the barriers and facilitators of buying from those local farmers. But at this point, you can see that there's a large gap between food retail, not only for people in rural areas, but also where there could be a linkage between the farmer and the retail store. Finally, what I had some students do was take a picture of what they thought their food environment was. So they went into those grocery stores that I showed you, and they said, this is what I think is available to me. So, and it really, I think, nicely highlights, what do we as a system produce? We produce meat and we produce commodity crops. What do we then sell? Sugar. Crackers and chips, that's what we sell. And then this is one of the favorite ones. They thought this was very funny, that you couldn't find fresh fruits and vegetables. These weren't being produced. But yet, in Wayne County, which, as I have highlighted, is a very rural county, there was a Starbucks drive-thru. And I just really thought that highlighted how there are just these gaps in our system. I think that's it. So in summary, I would like to say that a system assessment is a collaboration between sectors of the food, and it can really help to improve the health, the economic, and the nutrition profile of the community. There are policy options, and addressing collaborations might be an avenue for further exploration. Thank you.